We turn now to our studies in the Larger Catechism, and we'll take as our text tonight the words of institution for baptism. We're looking at Matthew 28 and at the end of verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So the question we're looking at tonight is question 165. What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein Christ hath ordained the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost to be a sign and seal of engrafting into himself, of remission of sins by his blood, and regeneration by his Spirit, of adoption and resurrection unto everlasting life, and whereby the parties baptized are solemnly admitted into the visible church and enter into an open and professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's. So we have been looking in past weeks at sacraments in general, and now today we're coming to look at baptism. There are, as we saw, only two New Testament sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. These are sacraments which Christ ordained in his church. And we have Christ here just before his ascension up to heaven, instituting baptism. He says, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He has died, he has risen again, he has fulfilled all that the Father required, all the terms of the covenant of redemption, he has fulfilled it. He's paid the full price for our sins. He's made a complete atonement, and now he is risen and he's ascending up into heaven to sit at God's right hand, to make continual intercession for us, to rule the nations. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And when they accept your teaching, baptize them." When they come to faith, faith comes by hearing. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then, having baptized them, go on teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them not just some things, not just the most important things, but teach them all. Everything I commanded you is so important. Teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. So Jesus is thinking of the whole New Testament age till the end of the world, and he's saying, go and baptize. So baptism is to be practiced from the time of Christ's ascension up to heaven till he comes again, till the end of the world. Go teach, disciple, and baptize, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So turning then to question 165, what is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament, wherein Christ hath ordained the washing with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, to be a sign and seal of engrafting into himself. So we have here, first of all, an outward act. The washing with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. A simple act, but it's an act of deep significance. And basically what this catechism is doing for us today is it's explaining the significance of baptism, what we are to look for from baptism, what the meaning of baptism is. But before getting on to that, we should say a word about the proper mode of baptism. The Catechism says, baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament wherein Christ hath ordained the washing with water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now we're not told how much water should be used. When Jesus spoke about baptism, instituting baptism, he didn't say how much water was to be used in that baptism. The Westminster Confession of Faith says that there are three modes of baptism which are all acceptable: dipping, pouring, and sprinkling. Dipping or immersing, pouring water over the individual, or sprinkling. But the Baptists argue that there is only one proper mode. Now the Baptist arguments are always very simple, and if we're prepared to take them at face value, then it's very simple, it's very easy. And they tell you the word baptizo, it always means immersion. Therefore, you must immerse people. But is it true? Look at the word baptizo, the Greek word that's used for baptism. Look at it in the New Testament. Study it, and you'll see that that's false. For example, look at Mark 7, verse 4. And there we're told about the Jews, when they come in from the market, they wash before they eat. And many other things there be in their traditions, as washing of cups, of pots, of brazen vessels, and tables. Now, what word is used here? The word that's used, translated in the Bible, washing, is the word baptizo. Baptizing cups, pots, brazen vessels, and tables. Can you imagine them immersing tables? How were they going to be able to do that in their houses? Where were they going to have a big enough tank in every house to immerse a table? That's crazy. The idea of that's used, the idea in the word is, of course, washing. Washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and tables. Similarly, in Luke 11, verse 38, we're told that Jesus comes in from the road with the crowds into a house to have food. And the Pharisees are surprised that Jesus didn't baptize himself before dinner. What were they expecting Jesus to do? To immerse himself, to come in from the road and to take off all his clothes, find a big tank and immerse himself in there. Again, that's ridiculous. Obviously, what is meant here is to wash his hands. When he came in from the market, the Pharisees, the scribes, it wasn't so much a matter of hygiene, but more their tradition, their ritual. They had been out mixing with sinners, and so when they came in, they would wash their hands before they ate food, washing away the sins of the sinners that they had contact with in the market. obviously washing, not immersing. I mentioned just one other passage from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2. There we're told about the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt and going through the Red Sea. And we're told that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But who were immersed? The Egyptians. They were immersed and drowned. But the Israelites, they passed through the sea on dry land. They were washed, as it were, in the cloud and in the sea. And the Egyptians were immersed and drowned. Baptism does not always mean immersion. Baptism means simply, baptizo means to wash. So then, having looked at the mode, the question is not how much water we use, but simply water being used symbolizing washing. That is what is involved in baptism. But then we come to the essential meaning of baptism. What does it mean? What is the basic meaning? What's the most important aspect of baptism? And the most important aspect of baptism is union with Christ. It's a sign and seal of our engrafting into Christ. We're baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptized into Jesus. It's talking about union with Christ, like the children of Israel. They were baptized unto Moses, united to Moses going through the Red Sea. The idea is one of union. That is the most basic idea. And all the other benefits that flow from baptism flow from our union with Christ. Now, when we think of union with Christ, think, for example, of a twig that is grafted into the tree. And grafted into the tree, it partakes of the life of the tree. It draws the sap of the tree. And so the twig grows into a branch and becomes fruitful. That's the picture that we have in baptism. It's been engrafted into Christ. You know how that picture is used in Romans chapter 11. There we're told of how the Jews were cut out of their own olive tree, the olive tree of the church, the olive tree of Christ. They were cut out of the olive tree so that the Gentiles might be grafted in. And the Gentiles are pictured as branches of wild olives. So this is something contrary to nature. It's not something you would normally do, to take wild olive trees and graft branches from them into a cultivated olive tree. But this is what God does for his own glory. He takes these wild branches, these Gentiles, grafts them in the place of the Jews. But then one day, the Jews will be grafted back in to the olive tree, and that will be life from the dead. It'll be a resurrection for the church. A blessed day ahead. So the essential meaning then is union with Christ. And further, baptism means the remission of sins. Ordinarily, water cleans away dirt. We're out working in the garden. We wash our hands. We wash the dirt off them. And that's a picture for us of the washing of the blood of Christ. Blood, of course, symbolizes the life of Christ. Blood is the life. His life was given. His blood was shed. He died for our sins. And he died so that our sins would be forgiven us. And so in that sense, we have the picture of blood washing our hearts. We don't normally think of blood as being able to clean, but rather only to defile. Blood makes something look dirty. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes our hearts. It reaches into the very core of our being. And we are washed. Now, of course, sins cannot be washed away merely with the water of baptism. Baptism, the washing with water, symbolizes the washing with the blood of Christ. It pictures for us the washing with the blood. There are some, and they've been baptized, but they've never been washed of their sins. We think of Simon in Acts chapter 8, how he was baptized, and yet Peter had to tell him that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. He was heading for hell. He needed to be converted. So being outwardly baptized does not wash away our sins, but it's a sign, it's a picture of what takes place in the spiritual realm. A picture of justification. When we believe in Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. They're all washed away. So baptism pictures for us justification, wherein he pardons all our sins and receives us as righteous in his sight. So outward baptism doesn't do it. But spiritual inward baptism washes away our sins. Next, baptism is symbolical of regeneration. It's symbolical of regeneration. Baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament wherein Christ hath ordained the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost to be a sign and seal of our engrafting into himself, of remission of sins by his blood, the washing away of our sins, of regeneration by his Spirit. Now the Roman Catholics, they teach that when you're outwardly baptized, you're born again. They teach baptismal regeneration. Some Anglicans teach the same. And you get it in other groups of of Christians as well, who teach this baptismal regeneration. But again, it's wrong. It's totally wrong. Outward baptism symbolizes regeneration. It's not actually regeneration. It's a sign of it. And a sign and the thing itself can't be the same. It's a sign of regeneration. It's not regeneration itself. And there are those who have been outwardly baptized, who've never been born again. Like, again, Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8. Some have been baptized, but have not been regenerated. Others are regenerated, although they were never baptized. And we know about the thief on the cross who died beside Jesus. Up till that day, he had been a sinner on the road to hell. But he met Jesus. He was converted on the cross. And Jesus said to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Never baptized, but he's been in heaven for 2,000 years. We mustn't confuse the sign then with the things signified. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we read of the washing of regeneration. So when a person is born again, when they're regenerated, they are washed. You're not regenerated by washing, but you are washed through your regeneration. So being born again washes us. Baptism doesn't wash us. Baptism doesn't regenerate us. Baptism is an outward sign. It symbolizes, it pictures for us engrafting into Christ, the remission of sins, and the regeneration, the new birth. It pictures these things, but it doesn't bring these things about. And next, adoption. Regeneration by His Spirit of adoption too. Now I found this interesting today because I never really stopped at that before. I hadn't thought of how baptism and adoption were linked. But they are obviously linked. Now where do we see that in the scriptures? Well, we see it in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Galatians 3, 26, 27. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So there you have baptism and adoption joined together. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So you are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism and adoption are linked. So it's not just that we're justified by faith, but we're adopted by faith as well. So it's not simply that baptism symbolizes justification by faith, washing away of our sins, but it also symbolizes adoption. Baptized into, united to Christ by faith. And being united to Christ by faith, adopted by God into His family. Children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. So baptism symbolizes adoption as well as justification. You have put on Christ. And you are heirs and joint heirs with Him. So we have adoption also linked with baptism. But then there's more here. We notice next, and resurrection unto everlasting life. Resurrection unto life. What is that? That is sanctification. It's definitive sanctification. That big break with sin. You were dead in your sins, but now through baptism, baptism symbolizes your resurrection from being dead in sins to being alive. Alive with Christ, alive for God, united to Christ. So resurrection with Christ then is symbolized by baptism. Now, Baptists see this as the basic meaning of baptism. They don't think of baptism as union with Christ or washing, but they think of it as primarily resurrection with Christ. Dying with Christ, being buried with Christ to the old life, and rising to a new life. And this is based on Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. Now, Romans 6 is not dealing with the mode of baptism. It's dealing with sanctification, definitive sanctification. Romans chapters 4 and 5 deal with justification by faith. Romans 6 and 7, 6 deals with definitive sanctification. Romans 7, progressive sanctification. Romans 8, adoption. And so what we have in Romans 6 is this definitive sanctification, this big jump in sanctification that happens at the beginning of a Christian's life. And three pictures are given to us of what happens. One is buried with him by baptism to the old life, risen with him to a new life. And then we're given a second picture, planted in Christ. And it's the same thing that has been referred to. Baptism has been planted in Christ, engrafted into Christ. And then we're given a third picture. The old man is crucified, that we should not serve sin, so that we're new men in Christ Jesus. So we have that third picture of baptism as a death, the death of the old man and the new man now in Christ. So this passage is not talking about the mode of baptism, how much water should be used, or whether a person should be immersed or not. Rather, it's simply speaking about baptism as a radical break with the past. Baptism as symbolizing definitive sanctification. All Christians used to be dead in their sins. All of us were in the old life, dead in sin. But then, through regeneration, through this engrafting into Christ, through what baptism symbolizes, we die to the old life, we're buried to the old life, we're risen with Christ, or put in a different way, we're planted in Christ. Or put in a different way, the old man has died and the new man is alive for Christ. You are baptized to be new men and new women in Christ Jesus. To be risen with Christ. To be living holy, godly lives. So, it's a picture of the great change, and it's calling for these holy lives from us. Resurrection unto everlasting life, it's a picture of that. And whereby the parties baptized are solemnly admitted into the visible church. Solemnly admitted into the visible church. Baptism is a badge of membership. Just as circumcision was a badge of membership of Israel, the Old Testament church, so baptism is a badge of membership of the New Testament church. And only those who are already members of the covenant community should be baptized. Baptism is to be given to those who are members of the covenant community, as it was in the Old Testament. Members of the covenant community were circumcised, and so it is in the New Testament. And that's why children, through being born into covenant families, by their birth into that covenant family, the promises to you and to your children, and they are members of the covenant community like that, and being members are baptized. And when adults are converted and believe in Jesus, they are members of the covenant community through their faith in Christ. and they are to be baptized. And all who are baptized are to be members, are members, unless they are excommunicated. Some children, as they grow up, excommunicate themselves. They turn their back on the church, and they grow up as heathen, and such that turn their back upon the church excommunicate themselves. And it's a very, very serious thing to be baptized and to turn one's back upon that covenant community and that covenant God. And what baptism symbolizes, it's a rejection, a serious rejection of God and Christ. And so finally, enter into an open and professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's. So in baptism, there is a commitment. If an adult is baptized, they take vows upon themselves, the vows of the Lord. They profess faith and they promise to live a consistent life. They promise to follow the Lord. And in their baptism, they're making these promises to serve the Lord. They're making an open, professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's, baptized into, engrafted into Christ, picturing that engrafting, that union with Christ, and the washing of sins, and being born again, and adopted into God's family, and risen with Christ to a new life. They are part now of the visible church, and they are professing an engagement, entering into a commitment to be holy the Lord's. Are you baptized? You have, in your baptism, entered into an open and professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's. But what then about children? Well, parents, they take promises on behalf and vows on behalf of the children, and they promise to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, as the children grow up, these vows and these promises fall upon the heads of the children. And the children have to take seriously the fact that they were baptized into Christ. They are part of his church. Are they going to deny Christ? If they do, they bring upon themselves the curse of the covenant, because there's solemn vows involved, solemnly admitted into the visible church. Yes, little babies too, solemnly admitted and entering into an open and professed engagement to be holy and only the Lord's. Have you been baptized? Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, if you're not walking in the Christian way, your baptism is a curse upon you and not a blessing. And that baptism will put you into a deeper place in hell than if you were never baptized. It's a solemn thing, a solemn, solemn thing to be baptized into Christ's church. A solemn engagement, an open and professed vow to be holy and only the Lord's. Are you? You're baptized. Are you holy and only the Lord's? If not, I warn you, you're in a dangerous position. It's time that you repented. It's time you turned and sought the Lord, fled from the wrath to come, called upon the name of the Lord to save you, pleaded with God to put His Holy Spirit into your heart, to regenerate you, to transform you, to unite you to Christ, to justify you and adopt you and sanctify you, so that you are risen with Christ, so that you are not just outwardly in the visible church, but inwardly in the invisible church, part of the true body of Christ. Fellow Christians, we all have to improve our baptism. We all have to make use, solemn use, of the fact that we have been baptized. The means of grace and their efficacy is not confined to the moment at which they were administered. Blessing is to be looked for long after the administration. Baptism is only administered once. But all our life, we are to seek to profit from our baptism.